This is MSO Newsports.com. I'm Bill Newell, and we're joined by Ken Reeker, a professor of art and design at Salem State University. And Ken, welcome to MSO Newsports.
Well, I appreciate your interest.
Well, we have a number of topics to discuss. And first of all, I guess let's talk about public art. And we want to tell some of our listeners about some of the projects that you've been involved with in the greater Boston area and here on the North Shore in particular. But let's just begin with public art and how you got involved or interested in public art as an artist.
Mm-hmm. I got interested in public art prior to coming here 11 years ago in Savannah, Georgia. I started a project in Savannah called Waterworks, which focused on students creating work and then exhibiting it in the community. It was a way of getting the students in the community aware of one another and what was going on, at the college.
And where was that located in Savannah? Because it's kind of a neat location, correct?
It's a beautiful school. They've got about 51 buildings throughout the downtown area of Savannah, and they've been there since about 1976 developing. They're quite well known.
Now, as far as some North Shore projects, there's one at the Swampscott Middle School. There's one in Boston we'll talk about in a moment. It's on display now. But tell us about the Swampscott Middle School art project that you've been involved with.
Mm-hmm. My daughter is a seventh grader at the Swampscott Middle School. And I got involved with Gail Anderson, who is a retired teacher there, who has developed an interior courtyard for the school over the years, turned it from a very highly underutilized place to a very desired place for meetings and kids to congregate. She started out with a program that uses plants and gardening as a vehicle for the students to get to know one another and spend time outside, away from the computers. We had talked early on with this piece that I had shown her that deals with plastic bottles and recycling. So she was enthused about this idea. It was an opportunity as a resource, too, for the students to kind of discuss these ideas of recycling in what they do with planting and gardening. So she was enthusiastic about repositioning the piece that was actually created in 2010 for Art in the Park in Worcester that deals with plastic bottles.
Now, those are not the only projects involving plastic or recycling that you've been involved with artistically. So maybe share a couple of other notes or stories on those.
Mm-hmm. The Pingree School has been pretty instrumental in showing public art over the past 7 years now, I guess. But I've used plastic bottles pretty extensively in the artworks that have been created out there. One of the first water pieces were created at the Pingree School. And from there, other pieces, there was a piece called Tip of the Iceberg, Bottom of the Barrel, that envisioned or actually visualized a huge iceberg made out of plastic bottles that floated out on their lagoon. So this idea of the problem of plastic being bigger than we're able to really understand and see became a visual component of Tip of the Iceberg. I've done plastic bottle chandeliers a couple of years ago, and plastic bottles, because they're so ubiquitous, it's an easy material to accumulate and get.
Yeah. It's what's interesting is, like, it was several months ago I did a story. Salem Coastal Watch, I think, was involved with this. The Abbott Library in Marblehead was involved with this. And NOAA sent along a researcher or a scientist along to present on all the plastic that is in the ocean. And it was we put a post up there on our website, but it is just staggering. And so now you're kind of combining the scientific research, as well as kind of highlighting it through art that people can come by and see. But it's still staggering, and you must be aware of that, of the amount of plastic that's in our water oceans right now.
Mm-hmm. It's a beauty of working in a comprehensive liberal arts college, is the contacts you make from other disciplines that make you aware of the immensity of the problem that we've created, in an effort to make things easier for ourselves, certainly. Plastics starting way back in the 1950s or so, that were initially meant to make our lives easier, that have now complicated to such immensity. Yeah,
I want to talk about the Salem projects, or in a plural there, that you've been involved with, and you also are teaching a summer course this July, a 1-week course, plus with a couple of extra days, starting on the 7th, the 11th rather, of July. Mm-hmm. And I guess there are a few openings left in that course, and called Art 340 here at Salem State College. And tell us about, well, start us from there, and then maybe tell us about some of the projects that you've been involved with in the city of Salem itself, or that are in the city of Salem.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'd like to think that the projects that myself and my students have been involved with here over the past 11 years have influenced the city's decision to do a public art program. And just two spring ago, they received a large humanities grant, which allowed them to pursue this temporary public art in the city of Salem. So the Mayor Driscoll, I think, was very receptive to these initial projects that went on with public art and my students' work. When I arrived here at Salem State, I looked into procuring a public art license with the city of Salem to show temporary public student work during the summer for 2 weeks at a time at various locations throughout Salem. One was the Dog Park, Leslie's Retreat Park. The other one was Hawthorne Cove. And recently we've been showing at Cat Cove, which is actually owned by Salem State University. Cat Cove is a great venue because so many people are vacationing here or camping out on Winter Island have an opportunity to kind of view this venue that sits right across a bridge that links the Salem with this this camping venue. So the years of kind of placing work through the community, I think, had a big effect. I'm a terrible marketer of the work that I do, but it's incredible how I noticed that when I was putting the piece up down in Boston, that the amount of people along the walkway were far more than the amount of people that I saw coming to the museum all day long. So I think the potential for public art, and you get a lot of unhappy visitors too, that you're perpetrating these constructions and things on people that seriously sometimes don't want to see them there. So it's a difficult prospect as well. But I'd like to think that the work that occurs really creates more delight than animosity. A lot of the times the work in the dog park, it got press from passersby who were taking cell phone images. Yeah. They sent them to the newspaper, and before I was able to contact the newspaper, there were stories being done. So that same year, there were some problems with people dismantling the work in the dog park. I stupidly assumed it was bored juveniles that didn't have anything else to do. But as it turned out, they were adults that didn't want to see the work in place. So they were dismantling them, taking them away, and some of them just throwing them into the canal. So, the public art brings out some of the best and the worst in communities oftentimes. But it's, I think it's a way of broadening arts efforts beyond the museums. In the museums, you're preaching to the choir.
Yeah.
In the world, in some ways, you're kind of transforming the world to a whole new audience for yourself.
Well, I want to transition to what's probably maybe the headline story here, in a way, in the sense that you just mentioned Boston a moment ago, but you have there's a public art display, Double Trouble, which is Gillette Dock on the Harbor Walk in Boston, and it's up there now, and it'll be there through September 15th. So tell us about that piece and, you know, how you got involved with it and kind of describe it for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, Double Trouble kind of started with the sculptural idea of what looks like a zinc pipe that's spouting a turret of water is actually, on closer inspection, just hundreds and hundreds of empty plastic water bottles. So I liked this idea of, again, recyclables, this idea of how we kind of behave in our consumerism with plastic and the production of petroleum-based products, which is something that needs to end. The piece, it was a commission piece. Oftentimes, like I had told you earlier, the piece was commissioned for the Fort Point arts community every year to bring attention to that neighborhood and their studio openings. They commission an artist to do a public art piece. So the piece was initially submitted for that purpose. I had submitted it for the Congress Street Bridge. Trying to do any kind of public art on a public infrastructure these days is next to impossible. So I scouted out a different area, found a private public space, the Gillette Bridge, and the piece was created there. But every piece is a dogfight. I had no idea what I was going to be getting into until I actually started the project. Working on the dock with the ebb and flow of the water, there's a fluctuation level of 8 to 10 feet in the tide. So it was a little like making a piece of sculpture on a seesaw. I had no idea. It's over 1,200 bottles because it's a double water turret that flows from the top of the pier wood structure into what looks like the canal and then splashes up with more plastic bottles. In order to buoy that many bottles, once I got it there, my vision that this, you know, as the water would ebb and flow, that the bottles would just submerge themselves, you know, with a minimal amount of weight.
Yeah.
And the water come up and down. But with that many bottles, I would have needed probably a small garage on each of them to weight the pieces. Yeah. And my resources, my wife and my daughter, and myself, did, because this is a temporary piece, so it needs to be removed and dismantled again when it's over September the 15th. So I'm always amazed at how the sculpture kind of transforms itself or needs to be kind of readdressed depending on the environmental needs, the wind, the water, the tide. So as it happens, the form of this piece changes through the tide levels. When the tide is low, there's a 14-foot turret of what looks like water that goes from the zinc pipe to the water level. At high tide, the bottles kind of gather themselves up. So it's a very different form during high tide and low tide. During low tide, it's a very rigid 14-foot length of water. And then at high tide, it's this more whimsical, twisted configuration that sits on top of the water. So I was delightfully surprised. Oftentimes, that doesn't.
Not a pleasant surprise.
You're continually, you know, rethinking and reconfiguring things often.
Yeah.
So no, it was lucky.
And we talked about how you'll participate if someone commissions something, mm-hmm. and you study what the space is like, right? Mm-hmm. And then to see whether and then whether you have an idea or not. Do you, and I guess are you looking at this Watertown project, or are you just aware of it? There's a project.
No, I'm actually looking at the Watertown project in particular, and because it's a space between these staircases that has been approached before, gravity wise from above to below, as if it would kind of flow down, I'm looking to transform that space with a dynamic that pushes itself up. What I have envisioned for that is, and I can't think of the Japanese woodcut artist's name, but there's a very famous, that's been reproduced over and over again, Hirogishi, of a wave, a huge wave that's, 13th, 14th century. And what I want to do is create that wave in the arsenal center that kind of moves up and then crashes down from the top and below.
Yeah. So maybe as a final question or two here, if I were to ask you around the country or around the world, rather, mm-hmm. If you were to pick out a couple of top public art spots, what would you highlight? What would they be?
I think Chicago is a great city for public space. I mean, the mayor, Daley, when he was mayor, he was able to really get a wonderful public space built on private funds. There's a percent for the art there where, when a building does go up, there's money set aside for art inside and outside the building. I think that's a practice that doesn't happen here in Boston. It's unfortunate, too, because there's some great institutions with MIT and Harvard and other institutions where students will train, but they'll leave, I think, because of some of the practices and provincial practices that occur here in Boston.
I have one last question, maybe, and that is just the general, back to the whole looking down from way up high on public art, is that there's the space that it would appear in that you consider as an artist, mm-hmm. but then there's themes, or the public needs.
Right.
Maybe elaborate on those. I don't know if that's a three pieces or what, that, mm-hmm. that and explain that to us.
Well, that's a difficult tripod to manage. You're certainly right, because I think you have to have, as an artist, you have to have some respect for the audience that you're going to be dealing with, the space. There's certainly all kinds of work that's made and plopped in public spaces,
right.
that don't actually address the space. So, I think like any art in general, there's good public art and there's bad public art. But it still gets made. But like I said, I think the potential audience, for me, education is a big part of getting people comfortable with contemporary art. My students are not comfortable with contemporary art. I think contemporary art has become as complex as contemporary society has. So it's a little bit harder to digest. It's a little harder to understand. I'm of the understanding, though, for me, particular, art with a capital A is any artwork that you look at that's able to transform the world in a way that you didn't have an understanding of when you first saw the work. So, and that comes in a lot of different forms. So,
there we are. Okay. Well, Ken, thanks so much for joining us and sharing some of this with us. And best of luck with all of these projects and your future endeavors. And it's great catching up with you.
Thank you, Bill.
Okay. Yeah. That's Professor Ken Reeker from Salem State University, and again, a professor of art and design at the college. And I'm Bill Newell here on MSO NewSports.com.